We love hip hop.
Let me just do a quick test here. Are you able to hear my sound effects?
We love hip hop.
Yep.
Okay.
Hear it all.
All right, dope. I'm gonna play something for you, and I want to see if what your reaction is to this. You ready for this?
Oh, all right, let's do it.
What do you think of when you hear that song right there? Talk to me.
I grew up on that, man. That's Hammer. That's too legit, man. That's Oakland, you know? So everybody that I was like, you know, that helped raise me and stuff back in Oakland, that's what they were coming up to. So, you know, my people back home in California, they definitely made sure I was in tune to my Oakland roots. So E-42 Short, MC Hammer, Mac Dre, Federation, the list goes on and on. You know, I love them all. They got a spot in here in my heart. So.
I'm good like that, fam.
Yeah. You knew that too. I think you knew that. Exactly.
Hey. So listen, what's the weather like out there, man? You're over there, you're at the Crypto Arena, you in LA.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. It's not too hot. Out in Georgia where I'm living at, man, it's extremely hot. So it's super refreshing to be out here in LA, man. And the sun is not beaming on you too much, but it's perfect for you to be super comfortable. We over here at crypto.com arena right now, getting something to eat at Fixin' Soul and Kitchen. So chilling though, man. We had an interview earlier.
Okay.
There's another one right now. So, you know, the work doesn't stop. We had to make a little pit stop and get some food, but you know, the show must go on.
As they say, you're booked and busy.
Yes. If you're not booked and busy, you're doing something wrong. So I'm grateful. I'm blessed. I'm very, 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 very thankful.
So let's get into some of this. And just for the people, because it's kind of a cold opening right here, for the people who are just tuning in now, who are tuning into the audio, as well as the people who are tuning in on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe, the like, all that good stuff. You know, it's your boy Friday Ricky Dread, a.k.a. Mr. We Love Hip Hop. And we got a special one here today because we talked to a lot of people locally over here in Toronto or different Canadian artists. But it's a special treat when I get to speak to people across the border. You know what I'm saying? So with no further ado, we have Troy Man in the motherfucking building. Hold on, let me give you some
stuff. What's up, everybody? Nah, man. What's up, Toronto? I got so much love in Toronto, man.
Yeah, tell me about that, fam. Even before we get into some of our questions here, like, are you tapped into the scene up here? Or are you, besides Drake, obviously, like, are you aware of some of the different artists out here?
Sort of, not really. No, I wouldn't say not too familiar. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of indie artists from Canada that have reached out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really dying to get up there, man. I've the love that I've noticed that I've gotten from Toronto recently, it's been a lot of people that's just been, you know, with me having the back pages to shit.
Hey, what's up, bro? It's no, you made a good impact, bro, on the show.
I appreciate you, bro.
Hey, my God, you made a good impact. What you doing?
Of course, I got you.
I know people recognize you. I'm not pretty sure you can
sit outside. Yeah.
But bro, I'm artist to artist.
Hold on, bro.
Artist to artist, fool. I was rooting for you, fool.
Yeah.
I wanted you to come out with that. Even though Smoke took you, you was noble. You was like respectful.
Right.
The whole show that day. I just watched it, bro. So keep doing what you're doing, fool. Like that's
thank you, bro.
Man, hey, watching it again really gave me chills. Like, tell me if you ever watch it again, bro. Inspirational.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Be safe, man.
You too, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, we're gonna talk about that.
Toronto.
We're gonna talk about that. Don't worry. I have that later on in the interview here. That's crazy.
But man, with Toronto, man, I'm able to see, like, you know, after I drop music and stuff, I'm able to see which areas, which countries are really tuning into my music the most. And Toronto is definitely top three, and it's not three. So I've been super appreciative and eager to really get up there to Toronto, man, and lock in with some promoters, get up there with some different venues and really connect with the different artists and stuff. I'm only exposed to Drake and, you know, like Tory Lanez, Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I got to really tap in with the actual scene, you know what I'm saying? So I'm dying to do that, for real.
Well, don't worry. We'll keep you in the loop. You know what I'm saying? Go on our We Love Hip Hop Network page. You get to see all the different politics and all the crazy shit that happens out here.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You'll make sure to do all your homework before you cross the border. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. Of course.
And you dropped a new project, right? It's called Chocolate and Diamonds, right?
Yeah. I dropped last year.
Yeah, the latest project, let's say. Why did you pick that name?
It was centered around Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Valentine's Day based project. And that's like the bare minimum kind of that women, I think, have kind of been expecting has been chocolates, flowers, diamonds, things of that nature. So I wanted it to kind of be themed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what people think of at least women, what they're thinking of, what they're expecting from, Valentine's Day and stuff. Hopefully these songs on this project can help them kind of get into that mode and shit too. So
yeah,
that's why I named it Chocolates and Diamonds. You know, it's Ferrero Rocher, all of the stuff, like the chocolates and stuff around that time in February, they go up. Everybody's buying them for somebody. So
yeah. And you're really diverse artist. Like, you try a lot of different things. Has that always been a thing from when you started rapping, or is that something that you just developed over the years?
It's kind of always been a thing. I've truly stepped into my diversity as of recently. I feel like when I first started doing music, I was truly focused on wowing people with my metaphors and wordplay and cadence, mm-hmm. cadences and things of that nature. But once I felt like I kind of mastered that side, I felt like my next step was to truly step into my diversity, you know, doing the R&B records for people and just things of that nature, doing EDM records or, you know, house records and stuff like that, not necessarily allowing it to be limited to hip hop. So, but that did come, I would say, after I wrapped my ass off, essentially, you know what I'm saying? So it had its moment, you know?
No, that's dope. And, you know, just to go back a little bit, like with your upbringing, you grew up in, you know, we were playing earlier, Oakland legend. So you grew up in the Bay, San Francisco specifically, right? Three brothers. Right. Was it a single parent household? And, you know, this RIP to your moms as well. You know what I'm saying? I want to put that out
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, brother.
Before her passing, was it like a single parent household, both parents in the house? Like, what was that environment like?
It was, my parents split up, man. My biological parents, they split up before I was two. Mm. I mean, before I was even born, for real. So it's always kind of been a single parent household. My parents loved me equally, but separately. They didn't necessarily raise me together. Mm-hmm. They did a good job co-parenting, but it's been like that pretty much my entire life.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a single parent household, you know, per se, because my brother's father, my stepfather, for real, he was the rapper. He's really the person that helped me kind of push my direction in towards, rapping and shit like that.
Dope.
He was actually getting ready to sign the Machiavelli Records. That's Tupac's label, mm-hmm. like way back in the years. So I used to go to the studio with him at like 4 or 5 years old and like soak up the energy at the studio and the songs that they would do. So I wouldn't necessarily say I was in a single family or single parent household, even though my mom at times, like, you know, for maybe 2 years here, she was a single parent. But, you know, there was love. There was a lot. There was a huge community, man, whether it was my brother's dad, whether it was my dad, my brother's aunts. I have aunts and uncles. So the community, the village that, you know, helped raise us is bountiful, beautiful. Mm. So.
So even with that, like, did that help you to stay out of trouble, or like, did you not stay out of trouble? Like, was there like some times where you're like, fuck, I shouldn't even be doing this, and now you're out here doing some stupid shit?
I think my mom and dad were good on that end alone, man. They, you know, my mom had this thing where like she wouldn't talk. She would just like, you know, her lips like this. I wouldn't even understand what the fuck she was saying, but she had that face. I knew whatever the fuck it is that I was doing, I needed to stop. I could definitely say what kind of helped me not get into trouble so much was being a big brother. Mm. You know, once I've been a big brother since I was 6 years old. So when my brothers came into my life, it was like, I got to lead by example, for real. I got other eyes watching me that, you know, essentially are really important. I got to be truly mindful of what it is that I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know?
And you made the move to Atlanta at like 13 years old, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the reason for the move? And two-part question, what was that switch like when in the beginning? Like going into middle school, like from the Bay to all of a sudden being in Atlanta in the South. With an F, the South. Man.
It was different. It was a culture shock, especially for me. That was around the time that I decided that I wanted to do music. Mm-hmm. So the music that I was making or that I wanted to make, I wanted to kind of mimic behind, Oakland music, the Bay Area music. But then when I went to the South, it was at the point in time where Laffy Taffy and all of this, you know what I'm saying, Southern music was coming out. Mm-hmm. And it was really taking the nation by storm. So I found myself in between, you know, the two cultures, essentially, and trying to figure out how to fucking blend, how to blend, how to make my music sound like, you know, have the wittiness and the charisma of, you know, being from California, but then, you know, hopping into the simplistic nature of the Southern music and blending it perfectly. So I'm grateful for the move. Really, my mom moved us because, you know, we were in Oakland. Oakland was pretty active at that time. And the block that we stayed on had a lot of thugs, man, a lot of delinquents and, you know, ignorant folks. My mom having, you know, three boys, she was like, man, it's a matter of time before you guys get wrapped up into that shit.
Yep.
Just being in this area. So she had family in the South, her first cousins, her aunts, and she packed us up one day. She came in the bathroom. I was brushing my teeth for school. She asked me, "You want to move?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Do you want to go to Georgia?" And I said, "Sure." And 2 months later, we were making our way to Georgia.
That's so really interesting, bro. She asked you, "Do you want to move?" And you said, "Yeah." You knew that you wanted to move? How did you know at that age that you wanted to move?
I knew I didn't want to be away from my mom, you know? I knew that much. I knew that she was done with the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that much. So it was like, I knew she was done with the place. So it was, I was at that point where it was like, I'm not ready to leave my mom yet. And I'm glad I didn't, you know? Like my mom, she passed 6 years ago. If I would have stayed in California, I probably would have lived with my dad that entire time, but then I probably wouldn't have had as much time with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I still have my dad now. So everything happens for a reason. I think in that moment, more than I knew that I wanted to move to Georgia, I just knew that, I needed to be with my mom. So I think that probably helped the decision making.
Well, you know? It was a good decision, fam.
For sure. I think so too.
With the music, what did you start with? Did you start with the beats or the rapping? Because you make beats too.
Man, I'm going to keep it real with you. They were both at the same time.
Nice.
Both at the same time. I remember the first song I wrote was to a beat that I made, but the beat that I made, I couldn't like actually record to because I made it on this video game on the PlayStation 2. There's this video game called MTV's Music Generator 2, and you can legit make beats with your PlayStation controller.
Crazy.
Right? So I made a fucking beat, and I had hella beats in it, dude. Like just like crazy. But they're probably going back and listening to them now, they're probably trash as hell. But for that moment, it was the hottest shit possible.
The head knockers.
You know what I'm saying? So, right. You know what I'm saying? So I did that, man. I made a beat to it. And that was the first song that I've ever written. But since then, you know, once I realized, of course, I couldn't export the beats from the game and put them on the computer. And my cousin realized what I had. We started to transport everything to, you know, doing shit on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Fruity Loops.
It started to go that way.
Fruity Loops,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So
I knew it.
I didn't start with Fruity Loops. I started with Reason.
Ooh, Reason. Okay.
Propeller Head's Reason. Yeah. That was my first beat program I started with and was with it for a while, nearly 10 years until Machine came through. That's what I'm on now. Native Instruments Machine.
Mm-hmm.
So
I understand all that language. You know what I'm saying? For the audience who don't understand that, fuck them. I'm a techie, so I understand all that shit.
Fact.
How you get up on 106 and Park, my G?
Oh, man, that was a conference in Atlanta. At that point, it was like I was 17. We was used to doing a whole bunch of shows in the area. And my cousin signed me up for this conference. I went and did it. And I didn't even realize that there was the winner of the conference was going to be able to do 106 Apart. I didn't figure that out until I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So killed the shit. And they were, you know, they were man and woman of their word. Won the competition. And then next you know, I flew to New York. And the rest was history.
That's crazy. So, and that was the Wet and Wild competition that was going on for the 106 and Park thing at the time, yeah. Right?
But Wild Out Wednesdays,
my bad. But even for the competition that you won, the MTV Atlanta's Best Independent Artist / Rock Your Fashion campaign, it's crazy because you were making beats with an MTV thing, and then boom, you won an MTV competition.
You know what I'm saying? I love how, and it's a lot of moments like that in my career where shit just comes around full circle. Sometimes I don't even notice it. Like sometimes my team will point it out for me, like, yo, look. Remember you started like this and now look at where you are and I'm like, holy shit, I'm not even realizing. So
yeah.
Man, it's dope. It's a blessing, man, for real.
Those pieces are connecting.
All the time, dude, no matter if you're ready for them or not. It's dope.
Speaking of pieces connecting, Killer Mike's Barbershop. Is that like just a place for people to get their hair cut, or is also a breeding ground for artists? Put me on.
Man, Killer Mike, man, I feel like it's so, you can't really take anything off the table when it comes down to what he's putting together. People actually go to his shop, though, and get haircuts.
Yeah.
That one in particular, the one that I did the freestyle in front of, that is, that's his first shop.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people go there. He has a set of barbers that works out of there. But he also has a new swag shop, barber shop, in the Hawks Arena, in nice. State Farm Arena. So that one in particular, the one that we shot the episode out of, I'm pretty sure. My bad. I'm pretty sure I was just standing in front of it. My bad. I'm pretty sure he has different people come up there and link up there. Like Bernie Sanders has been up there. He's interviewed a couple people at his shop. So it's definitely a staple of the community. We're not just going to limit it to getting your hair cut.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking to some hefty people up there. And I'm pretty sure he conducts a lot of legitimate business up there. So it's a staple of the community for sure. You can't really mention Edgewood in that area of Atlanta without mentioning Killer Mike. So.
Yeah. And then how about T.I.? How did you meet T.I.?
T.I., man, when I, at the Killer Mike, at the Killer Mike's swag shop, that was the first time I met T.I.
Not to interrupt you. The first time you met T.I. Yeah. was during the time with the freestyle?
Yeah.
And for the people who don't know, this is the freestyle that was on Hustle and Flow, Netflix special. I watched it, and I barely watch TV, okay? But I watched the whole thing, fam. I was at the edge of my seat. Right? So continue. The first time you meet T.I. is at the barbershop, fam?
Yeah, first time I met T.I. was on that episode of Rhythm and Flow. It was fast, dude. It just happened. Like they were like, all right, guys, we want you guys set up here. We set up there. We knew where we were as far as Killer Mike's shop, but then next thing you know, T.I. walks in, and at that point, we knew what we had to do, and did my verse, and the rest is history. T.I. really kind of took into my lyrics and my art from that point on. So I'm super appreciative of T.I. He's a dope person.
So just a little bit of behind the scenes with that, right? You guys knew before you went to the shop that day that there was going to be shooting, they were going to be shooting a special, or did you just go into the shop and they were like, yo, we want you to rhyme?
I think that they prepared us for doing rhymes. They didn't give us the basis of what it was going to be. We were in a church like across the street. It was like the green room, essentially. They had snacks and stuff in there. And they were scheduling stuff in different locations around the area. And then next, you know, they called me and the other guys up.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the shop and start rapping. Simple as that. Then after that, we did the same auditions for Atlanta. The one at the very end of the episode, we did all that in the same day. So,
wow.
It's really cool.
The magic of TV, That's crazy.
Yeah, man. The guys over at Jesse Collins Entertainment, they definitely did the hell out of that show. It's a beautiful show.
So give me a little bit more behind the scenes. Who did you want to catch a fade with? Who do you want 5 minutes with over there?
Man, I'm a peacekeeper, man. I'm a peacekeeper for the most part. You know, if you got a problem with me, you got a problem with yourself. Nobody, for real. I ain't want to fight nobody. I would definitely say me and Flawless got, you know, me and Flawless went back and forth the most. That's like my brother. Like, you know, we argue all the time, but people don't really take us serious. We don't take each other serious. So I wouldn't say I wanted to fight anybody. It was some pretty solid contestants. The people that annoyed me a bit, you know, they left pretty early, thank God. but other than that, you know, the show was kosher, man. Everything was copacetic.
That's dope. So even though you didn't win, you still won in the end because, like, you got a beat from Tay Keith. Like, you got a whole album from that nigga, bro. Like,
you know what I'm saying? That's a victory in itself. That is a victory in itself.
So, okay, take me through that, fam. Like, I seen through the show y'all doing the one song and the video, right? But doing a whole album with Tay Keith, what was that like, fam?
Man, a blessing. It was challenging too. You know what I'm saying? I'm a true artist. You know, I don't really do trap fully like that. So I had to step into, you know, getting in my trap bag with Tay Keith. But it was a beautiful process, man. Tay knew exactly what production to provide for me to make the album, you know, be as dope as it is. So, you know, the way that we collab with each other over the last really 3 years for real has been fucking awesome. We turned something out of nothing, which is crazy. You know, I think that he really helped me out with my career a lot, man, by just saying, you know, whether you win tonight or not, I'm gonna do a tape with you. That gave people from the show that appreciated me something else to look forward to from the show that had nothing to do with the show, but everything to do with me. So it was a chance for me to, you know, top the song that I did on the show and rebuild that momentum again, you know, with stuff that people can be familiar and similar to. So shout out to Tay Keith. That's my fucking dog, man. I love him. He's the greatest.
Dope. So the last couple questions I'm going to ask you the same question twice. Okay?
Okay.
So from the whole hustle and flow experience, right? What's one thing that you've learned from that?
What's one thing I learned from the show? Pressure, man. Pressure exists. Pressure exists and it makes diamonds or it busts pipes. The show was a true testimony of that. There was a lot of times where, you know, people didn't make it to the next round because they just simply folded under pressure. I truly feel like the shows that I've done and the experiences that I've had before this show prepared me for this show, for real. I think that the experience that I've done years and years out before I even got on the show has truly helped me, you know, get as far as I did in the show. So, but the pressure, man, once you get to places that you really want to display your talent and you want to do it the right way, just expect pressure, but you can't fold under it. I feel like it's like the greatest thing that the show taught me.
Expect pressure.
And never be afraid to reinvent yourself. You don't have everything figured out when it comes down to this music shit and making music. So you truly have to look at yourself, give yourself a true analysis and be real with yourself. Tell yourself what you could do better, you know, what you might be in love with that your fan base might not be in love with. You know, you gotta super be on top of it because they're not gonna tell you that you suck. They just gonna tell you, you know, they're not gonna tell you that they don't like it. They're just gonna keep quiet and move on to the next song that they do like. So
yeah.
You gotta be mindful of that shit.
And the same question for like all the experiences that you've had to bring you up to this point. What's one thing that you've learned from that?
From all of the experiences I learned, you must keep going. Mm. It's not going to happen when you want it to happen. You know, when I did 106 Park the first time, shit, I thought after that on the flight home, I thought it was it, man. I was like, man, we going up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't expect, you know, 13 years later or 27 or not 10 years later for me to be on one of the biggest streaming services in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you go from, you got to have that resilience, man, that tenacity to just keep going, because there are going to be times where you feel like, you know, your music is not being heard by the people you want it to be heard by. But, you know, if I decided to stop way back then, half of these people wouldn't know who I am. So you got to have tenacity, you know.
That's a fact. Yo, man, yeah. Troy, man, just opened up the jewelry store. He gave free jewelry to everybody out there in the audience.
Had to get some gems, man. Jeez. Had to get some gems.
Oh, man, bro, I really enjoyed this conversation here. I don't like to do interviews. I like to have conversations where we get to learn more about the people. I get to learn more about the people I'm having the conversation with. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. So I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you for having me, too.
So for the people out there who want to tap into you, whether it's social media-wise or like any of the streaming platforms, let the people know where they can find you.
Okay, perfect. I'm on every streaming platform as far as the music. Just type in Troy Mann. I'm on Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple Music, Tidal. Go and buy the projects if you love them. We're in a streaming age right now, so people are used to, you know, just paying for Spotify and paying for Apple Music. If you love the art, go and purchase the album. It would mean the world to me. On socials, it's Troy Mann Official, TROYMAN mm-hmm. Official. That's on Twitter. That's on Instagram, Twitch, you name it. Just type in Troy Mann. I'm pretty sure it'll pop up. And chop it up with me, man. Send me a message, drop a comment. And I love to interact, man. I'm huge on engagement on my socials. So I talk to pretty much everybody who's got some sense. And hit me up.
That's what's up right there. For the people out there, I want you all to make sure to tap into all of Troy's music, all the way from the April album to the Insomniac album to the new EP album, the latest one, Chocolate and Diamonds. Tap into that song, Rapido, which is yes.
The Take Keep album is out too. That's the one that one just dropped 3 days ago. Take Keep album is out. It's called What's Not to Love. Check that out. You can have get them all too. You know, there's Godspeed, Chocolates and Diamonds, Insomniac, April, What's Not to Love. They're all different, but they all carry that vibe. You guys, I'm sure there's something there you guys will enjoy.
That's what's up right there. Troy Mann in the motherfucking building. Make sure to tap in. Make sure to subscribe. Hit the like. Share this, you know what I'm saying? And let people know that We Love Hip Hop Network is because it's the sickest network out there. And Troy Mann is the sickest artist out there as well.
You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you, man. We Love Hip Hop. I appreciate you guys for having me. And you already know, once I head up to Toronto, we're going to lock in. Y'all got to show me the city, man.
Yes.
It's love.
It's say less. We got you, fam.
Already, brother. Be good, man.
You too, brother. Thank you.
All right. See you soon.
Bless.
We Love Hip Hop.